Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll be looking at some of those verses that we read here this morning. We'll be talking about the Lord's table, the communion service, and it's something that God has given to us so that we won't forget the specifics of His eternal plan for us. My wife and I this week had a funeral service to go to. A younger cousin that was a bus mechanic there in the Minerva local school district, they found in began to notice back in December that something wasn't quite right, and we found that he had pancreatic cancer, and the Lord took him home this week, when we go to there, you go to a funeral service. It's a time of sorrow, and certainly with the family, the wife, and those that knew him well. He was well known. In the fact that he had worked in the bus garage for 27 years, they had determined they were going to take a bus with some of the drivers that appreciate his work. Some of them said, "Well, I'm going to take my own bus," so there were seven buses that kind of led the funeral parade there. Though it was a time of sorrow, it was a time of blessing, of being reminded of one who had his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We sorrow, but there is a great confidence that the believer in Christ has when they are taken. And so it was a time of blessing as well. You know, we need reminders. I think one of the sad things, as I have had opportunity and talked to funeral directors and various ones, a lot of people are doing away with the funeral. They just say, it's just like they want to put it completely out of their minds, and they don't want other people around, but we need reminders. We need not to neglect that time. It's helpful for the family, and it's helpful for you personally as well. One of the blessings in times past was the funeral service in the church where there was a great an opportunity for those being reminded of the blessed hope that we have as a believer. Where does that hope, that confidence come from? Well, we recognize, and even as we will be having the Lord's table here today, we want to understand what is this, and what is this reminder? The Lord's Supper has been greatly misunderstood and misused by many churches. It is not given as a way of salvation. There's no magical spiritual life that is given by partaking of it. But it's very clearly given for a special remembrance, a remembrance of the specifics of God's eternal plan that He has for those that trust in Him. This was, I suppose, in a way, it was like a funeral service when it was given, but it was looking forward to that. And so here, as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul is writing here, and how he had, when in the Gospels we have. Given to us those eyewitness accounts, and here we have the account of the Apostle Paul that was given that account by the Lord. He says, I delivered unto you that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, you know, it's interesting there the Lord, he recognized, and certainly before they ate, they gave thanks, just recognizing that all that we have has come from the Lord. I thought of that as it really wasn't necessarily a part of what was the communion service, except it was that recognition that as the scripture says, every good gift that we have is from God. The very food that we eat. And so we have made it a matter of life is before we eat is just stopping and giving thanks, recognizing that even the very food that we have has been is a gift of God. But he says here that he gave there in verses 23 and 24. In verse 24, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. He gave. There was a body that was given. And as we come to the Lord's table, we recognize, and as the Lord took that bread, he took that from a larger piece, and he broke it off, and he said, "This is my body." He gave it to them. This is a gift from the very heart of God. You know, you wonder, what is the character of God? The one verse in Scripture that many of us learned as kids, for God so loved the world that he gave. It was from the heart of God that he gave his only begotten Son. It was a body that was given. Christ's body was a gift to us. It was a sacrificial gift. When we think of Christ and his coming, back in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given." You know, when we look at what the Lord gave to us, what God gave to us, it was not just something that he gave in pity out of his abundance, but it's something where he gave of himself. Unto us a son is given. Here was God coming in the flesh. It was a sacrificial gift. It was a gift that was very costly. When we think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of Isaiah 53. It's a chapter that gives to us just in a few verses what the Lord went through. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. A very sacrificial, a very costly gift. Our Lord came. He was abused. He was abused of men. Some look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They look at that happened at the cross, and they think of like it was some sort of a spontaneous event that took place when they were crying out to crucify him. But no, it was very purposeful on the Lord's we have. Even as it was prophesied in the Old Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ was, when he came to give himself. He came to die. He let his disciples know that this was going to happen, though they did not understand it. We read in John chapter 27 or 12 and verse 27 where when he was in the garden, he recognizes what is coming, and he recognizes the hour and the hour when our sin is going to be placed upon him, when this innocent man, he says, shall I ask you to save me from this hour? He says, it was for this cause that I came. It was a very purposeful giving of his body for us. It says in Philippians chapter 2, this one who being in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped onto, but he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was very purposeful. It was very sacrificial. It was determined, as we recognize the scripture says, it was determined before the foundation of the world. The heart of our God, the heart of our God that would give to us this body, that piece of bread that is taken and broken there, taken off, it is there and it is given as a remembrance of a body that was given for us. It was, you know, we have, God has blessed us in many ways, and we talk about a funeral, and I thank the Lord for the life of my cousin that was given, recognizing, Lord, that there was many things that he did, and we have good memories of that. But here we have a body that was given specifically for us. It was a body that was, yes, he was without sin, different than us, only in that way. He was one who did not come with that sin nature as we have. He was, as we will see, he was that one that could take our place. When we come to verse 25, it says, after the same manner, then he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. It was something that was new and different here in the blood of Christ. We know that in the Old Testament that they took the blood of animals that was shed and that was given as a sacrifice that was merely a covering for the sin. But here, when Christ is about to go to the cross, when he is about to shed his blood, he said, this is the new covenant or the New Testament in my blood. The Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross for you and me. He had to go there to shed his blood. He had to die. in our place. There's an interesting when we say it's the new. Here we have a new testament. Testament. It's the same word that's used for when we have a will and a testament. We have a will of what is to be what is to be done with our inheritance. You know, those that when someone makes out that will and testament, and they could make something out that all that I have is going to be yours, but it's not yours. It's not yours, and you have no right to it whatsoever until the time of the death of that individual. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 9, and Hebrews it talks about that the importance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf and that shedding of blood. But it says there, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. There was a promise. We had the promise of forgiveness, the promise of cleansing, the promise of this blood that was to be shed. But until Christ came, until that body was given, and then when that blood was shed upon the cross, it was there that a purchase price was paid. It was there that a purchase price was paid. There's a purchase price that was paid with that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take that cup in our hand, it is there as a reminder to us that somebody's paid something for you, paid something that you could not pay for yourself. It was a purchase for your sin. His blood was the payment for your sin. That the scripture lets us know that blood is presented before the throne of God as a payment for our sin. We're all sinners. We've gone against God. We have sinned against Him. The scripture says that we were all condemned. We were all condemned. It's only through this precious body that was given. It was only through the precious blood of Christ that was shed there on the cross of Calvary that, I think of Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, if that body and that blood has been applied to your life, there's been a purchase that's been made for you. Redeemed. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that sacrifice has been made. The payment has been made on my behalf, on your behalf. And so I think of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, for as much as we know that we've not been redeemed with corruptible things, people, you can't buy it. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that we have that can in any way pay for our sin. It says, for as much as you're, that's verses 18 through 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1. says you're not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, the blood of Christ, it was as a lamb without blemish. He was tempted in all points like as we are, but yet without sin. I've often told people, I could tell the Lord, Lord, I'll die in their place. I'll take their place. And he would look at me and says, you're just as guilty as they are. You can't die in their place. But Christ was the lamb without blemish, without spot. So the precious blood of Christ, in verse 20 it says it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. But it was made known in these last times as Christ came as the fulfillment of that. So we have his blood. We have his blood that was planned way in the past. And now, through that, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can stand before God righteous. Justified. I remember my mother years ago saying justified. It means just as if I had never sinned. I have sinned, but in Christ I can be justified. I can be made righteous. And so Romans chapter 5 is a great chapter that helps explain that to us. It explains to us in Romans chapter 5 how that in Adam, when Adam sinned in the garden, he brought condemnation upon his race. And from the time of Adam on, we are born with a sinful nature. Isn't it interesting that we don't have to teach our children how to sin? It just comes natural. I mean, sometimes you look at that little baby and they look so innocent and so perfect. And then it starts to come out. And we recognize, no, it wasn't their environment. It's in their heart. And so Romans chapter 5 tells us that, just going to read verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We're all condemned from our sin. But because of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of that body that was given for us, of that blood, that innocent blood that was shed of Jesus Christ. You know, people can say, well, it's not fair that I should be condemned for something that Adam did. Well, we sin by nature, but we also sin by choice. We are all condemned, but I am so thankful that by one, Jesus Christ, I can be made righteous. So the end of verse 25, you know, after he took this and he says, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. This is a celebration of remembrance, of remembering that Christ died for me. A remembrance, it's a communion of the body, the fellowship of the body. It's interesting in the previous chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, it says the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You see, that's why this is called the Lord's Supper for believers. Because this is for those who are in fellowship, in communion with Christ. It's interesting as we look at this and we remember that we're remembering what Christ did, but it's also a remembrance of what Christ is doing for me now, because I have put my faith and trust in him. You see, I think in John chapter 8, when Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, it is from some of these verses that some have felt like, well, if I just eat a little bread of that communion and I just drink a little of that juice, then I am part of Christ. And they take verses like John 5, 23, 53 that said, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of the blood, ye have no life in you. But we must recognize this is just a remembrance. It's when you trust Christ as your Savior. It's when you partake of his body. And that's what the scripture is letting us know. It isn't the eating and drinking here at the communion table. It is when you personally receive Christ. Christ says, I am the bread of life that's come down from heaven. He wants us to partake of him. This is just a remembrance. This is just a picture of what should and what needs to take place when we trust Christ personally as our own Lord and Savior. And certainly we want to stop and ask, do you really know Christ as your Savior? It isn't just, oh, I believe who he is. I believe what he did. But it's a trusting belief where we recognize our sin and we turn from our own selves to Jesus Christ and we partake of him. I partook of the Lord Jesus Christ when I recognized my sin and says, Lord, I need forgiveness. I'm trusting in you who lived and died for me and rose again. We put our faith and trust in Christ. We become partakers of Christ. And if you are a partaker of Christ who has truly trusted Christ, then he wants us to partake of this. And so that's why, as he went on in the passage, he says, "For as often as ye eat and drink this bread, you do show the Lord's death." It's a continual reminder. Lord, you gave your body and you gave your life for me. And you gave your life for me. I hope you can't hear that ringing that I'm hearing in my ears, but good. I didn't shut it completely off. My hearing aid goes to my ears. I'm glad you didn't hear that. Oh, you know, isn't it interesting the way the old devil likes to get our mind away from where it ought to be? Right here when we recognize this is such an important event of what Christ has done. Such an important event of what Christ has done. But you know, it's not just a reminder. It's not just a reminder. There's a caution that's in this passage. There's a caution that's in this passage. If you are not a true partaker of Jesus Christ, he says, don't partake of it. And that's why when we come to the Lord's table, we say, you know, if there's something, if you're not a partaker of Christ, then pass it up. And also as a believer, it says whoever will partake of this unworthily, where we're not living in fellowship with the Lord, you know, we can live daily in fellowship with the Lord. We deal with our sin before the Lord. And so we have fellowship with him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing it is that I can be in continual fellowship with the Lord. When I sin as a believer, I just take it to the Lord and say, I want to turn from that. I confess it to the Lord. I'm restored in fellowship. It's the same as your children. You know, when your children come to you and say, "I'm sorry, Mom. I shouldn't have done that." You know, we restore that fellowship with him. So there's a caution that's in this passage, but there's one more thing that's in this passage. Look at what it says there in verse 26 at the end. "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." You know, one of the great blessings at the funeral service of my cousin was I knew that he was trusting in Christ. He had a testimony for Christ. I knew that he was taken into the presence of the Lord. I knew that I will see him when I go to be with the Lord. I the Lord in his promises, here he's letting them know. He says, "I'm not going to drink of the cup of the fruit of the vine again until I come again in my kingdom." The Lord Jesus is coming again. This is not just a remembrance of the past and what he has done, but it's also a promise of the future. He said that I will drink it with you in the kingdom. He's not just paid for my sin. He's not just cleansed me and paid for my sin, but in this service is a promise. When he says in Matthew 26, in the end of 29, he says, "When I drink it anew with you in my kingdom." In John 14, he says in verse 3, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again, that where I am, there you may be also." This is not just a funeral service, a reminder. It's also a reminder of why at the funeral of my cousin, that it was not just a time of sorrow, but it was a time of of blessing, of knowing that he's with the Lord and knowing that I'm going to go to be with my Lord. The Lord has promised that he's coming again. In Acts chapter 1, he says, the angel said to the men of Galilee, "Why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from heaven, shall also come in like manner as you've seen him go." In Thessalonians, he says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds." What a blessing we have as believers. This morning we've seen, and as we're going to go to the Lord's table, I want you, as we come to the bread, to remember what great love, what sacrifice, and what pain was for you, what price was paid, but ask, what have you done about it? And oh, what blessings lie ahead, shall we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching here over us. Thank you, Lord, for the body and the blood and the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.